Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So good to hear all of your voices this morning. So wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning and visiting with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to all of you. Welcome to those of you that are watching via live stream. And what a beautiful Lord's Day morning. I hope you caught a glimpse of the sun this morning because that was it. Speaking of the sun, we do still have the opportunity for a spiritual suntan. It's the only one you're going to get in Wisconsin. But those sign-up sheets are in the information center, and a great opportunity for you to be being in the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, thinking about it, and all the good things that will result from doing that. So encourage you to sign up for one of the suntan opportunities there in the information center. Also, please remember that this evening is our flock group at Hingham Hall, 5:30 in the evening. So come on out, enjoy a great time of food and fellowship. And just like this morning, you get even more time to talk there at Hingham Hall. So if you'd like to get to know each other a little bit better, it's just really a super fantastic time of fellowship. Bring a dish to pass and meet in downtown Hingham and enjoy some food and fellowship. Next Friday also is our game night. We haven't promoted that too much. I think last month we may have skipped it, so that's maybe why. But always fun, too, to come and play some board games. And just a reminder as well, some other things that you need to take care of for this year. We're putting together the prayer booklet. And if you would like to be have people praying for you in specific areas all year long, and who wouldn't want that, please put together some prayer requests, some praises that God has done for you in the past, and we'll get that into a booklet form. Actually, Maria does all the work. I just do the talking. So get those into Maria as soon as you can, and that will be much appreciated. Teens, you've got an activity coming up the 21st. And keep that in mind as well. And I know it's old news at this point, but with the arrival of Mabel Ruth Mason, we've got some new grandparents, John and Amy. Congratulations. Try to look the part, a little more gray maybe. Okay. But what a blessing, and all the new aunts and uncles too in the Mason family. And of course, let's not forget great grandpa Earl and great grandma Carol. So congratulations. That is pretty special. And welcome to everyone this morning. Pastor Kurt, why don't you come and share the prayer request this morning? Oh, you're saying something else is going to happen. Yes, bake sale. Okay.
Morning.
Good morning.
So you may have noticed we have a bake sale going on in the back. It's for an organization called Sheboygan County Teens for Life. We're a county-level organization made up of and led by teens, and we exist to educate ourselves and to advance the pro-life movement in whatever way we can. Current project we have going on is we have about five of us going to Washington, D.C. on the 18th, on a bus, and we're going to be attending the D.C. March for Life, as well as some educational conferences there. So all the proceeds from the bake sale will be going directly to that, so if that's something you want to support, we really appreciate it. And there's no prices or anything, so it's all by donation. And we take checks and cash, and we appreciate it if you donate, so thank you.
That group has good leadership. I have been watching Keegan for a number of years and have been so impressed by what the Lord is doing and has done in his life. And he picks up a number of young people and takes them to the meetings, including my daughter. And it's so exciting to see God raising up the next generation. I don't know if you've heard of Amazon Smile. You know I buy a lot of books, right? Okay, so I order them. If I'm not ordering them from Christian book distributors, I usually go through Amazon, and I always do it through Amazon Smile because a small portion of, what is the percent? Do you know? It's a really small portion goes to Anchor of Hope, which is works with, you know, women who are in need, and they're pregnant and in need. So a small portion of everything that I order through Amazon Smile goes to them. I'd just encourage you to, if you've ever ordered from Amazon but not used Smile, sign up for that. It's so simple. It doesn't take hardly any time, and it's free. And so they make about $1,000 a month off me. No, I'm just teasing. All right. I wish. I have enough books. No, I don't. All right. Anyway, let's go to prayer here. Let me share with you some heavy burdens. We actually have a number of things in addition to our normal prayer routine on Sunday morning that I'd like to share with you. So three of them. I'll start with Justin Pitts. So obviously we know Jerry and Joel. Justin is Joel's brother, Jerry's son. So his daughter Autumn has come occasionally. Maybe you remember when she has visited. It's been a little while since she's been here. But pray for Justin. He was definitely not feeling well. Started December 21st, was having some breathing issues, so forth in the lungs. He has just been, I think it was yesterday, Joel, was it yesterday? He was just diagnosed with, let me read this, non-small cell lung cancer. So he is 46, I think. He will undergo a PET scan. A PET scan checks your entire body for cancer. So he'll undergo that here soon. He's probably going to have to go through chemo and radiation. Almost all of us know somebody who's had cancer, and we know how devastating this is to one's life. So would you please join me in prayer, not just today, but you know, all week and into the future. Remember Justin. I don't know how he is spiritually, so I don't know him that well, but do pray for Justin. A second major prayer request, okay? This one's hard to share, but I have talked with Daniel Schilling quite a bit about this, and Katie's not here today. She's not been feeling well at all, okay, with the pregnancy. She had her 20-week ultrasound, and it's revealed a number of problems. So I'm not at liberty to share those. You can ask Daniel for more if you'd like. But the baby is not in good health, okay? She has thought there was something wrong for a little while, and Daniel kept trying to encourage her, but there really is something wrong. So don't know, I do know more details, but do pray for the Schillings, Katie especially, right now. And then one more heavy thing, Stephen Diane's son, Isaac. So we sent out an email to pray for him because he had a 103 fever. They didn't think he had COVID. But as it turns out, that's what it was. And COVID now, the strains don't usually cause your temperature to spike that high, but it did in his case. And so he's doing better. He got some kind of a shot, but pray that he'll recover. But that's actually not the part of this that's more concerning. So the Wednesday night crowd, those who come on Wednesday nights, are very familiar with Abigail. She has twins, and she's 29 weeks along. So we've been praying for her blood pressure issues because her blood pressure has been elevated for a while. And I don't know exactly how long, a couple days, but Abigail has not felt the babies moving at all. Okay, so that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong. They don't know anything for sure, but would you pray for both Isaac and Abigail? They live down in Milwaukee, so they're not they don't attend here, but just pray for them and for the Salopat family. All right, the heavy burdens. Okay, there's another one that I'm not at liberty to share. Very heavy burden. Only Maria and I know about it. But there, so I hardly ever do this, but let me just say there's an unspoken request in our church family that is just very, very, very difficult. Okay, so please, I do pray. I was up till almost 2 in the morning last night. Pastor should never begin a biography at night. And I was like, oh, man, I just have to read. I gotta read a little more. I finished it. And so probably the lack of sleep is affecting me. But anyway, let's pray for our family of the week. Roger is no doubt watching right now. Roger, we love you. We care about you. And for probably half of our congregation, maybe more than that, you've not ever met Roger. Roger and Bonnie has passed away, but dear saints, they sat right up on one of the front three rows on the left side, or my left side, and I miss having him here. Later, he moved to the back, Roger, we miss you, and we care about you. And so we're going to be praying for a couple of things for Roger this week. first, that he would remain strong and bold for Christ, and that God will give him continued open doors to share his faith with his neighbors. There are different neighbors that he interacts with, one in particular every single day. Just stops by, or maybe not quite every day, but regularly, most days, stops by and talks with Roger or helps him with a task. So would you pray that Roger will have boldness and the opportunities to share his faith with his neighbors? Our overseas servants of the week are Adam and Kim Markowski. They are raising support to go to Papua New Guinea. And they would like for us to pray for just their travels. I mean, traveling with little kids, going to a different church each week, that, that'd be a lot. So pray for them, and then also the homeschooling on the road, and that they get their support raised quickly. So Adam and Kim Markowski going to Papua New Guinea. And then finally, our persecuted saint of the week is Pastor Frank Mutabazi. So Pastor Mutabazi is from Uganda, and he was sprayed with acid. So let me read this for you. After Pastor Frank Mutabazi preached at an evening service of a church in the Kasubi area of Kampala, Uganda, a Muslim extremist pretending to be a congregation member greeted him, praised him for his wonderful sermon, and asked for a ride to the Busega area in western Kampala. About to return to his home in Mabara, nearly 5 hours away, the pastor agreed to give him a lift and set out on the Kampala Northern Bypass Highway. Before they got to the destination, the Muslim man asked to be brought to a friend's house. And I quote now, "As he got out of my vehicle, three other men dressed in Islamic attire appeared and pulled out a bottle and started spraying acid on me through the window while shouting and mentioning that I am an enemy of their religion as well as a deceiver who is not worthy to live," end quote. There's another quote. "From that time on, I did not know what happened, only to find myself at a nearby clinic in Namunga after 5 hours. So let's be in prayer for this pastor, Mutabazi. If you can't remember that name, just remember Pastor Frank. But pray for Pastor Frank that he'll be able to fully recover. I'm sure he's got scarring, but pray for his ability to return to family and to their church. Our Father, this morning we come with heavy hearts. There's so much happening in our church, so much good. You are doing some wonderful things, and we know that in the midst of wonderful times in our lives and events, and that there are also trials, but the trials this week are especially heavy. I want to pray for the unspoken request first. Lord, meet this need. Work in the situation and bring sustaining grace to those who are involved. We pray for Justin, middle-aged man in his 40s who has been just diagnosed with a pretty severe form of cancer. We don't know how far, Lord, it has spread, but we do know that you are in control. We pray for his spiritual well-being, more importantly even than his physical, that you will use this in his life to awaken him to his needs. And then we pray that through the treatments that you will work a miracle on his behalf to bring him to the point where he is free of all cancer. Then we pray for Katie and Daniel and Mrs. Blue, who's here, and all the children. It's the emotional pain of having this happen. It's one thing to have a miscarriage when the baby is very small, and that's hard enough, but to have a baby at 20 weeks and then to get a report this difficult is so hard. So, Lord, we pray for Katie now, probably watching online. Look, Katie, we love you, and Father, you love her, and we pray for her for emotional and physical strength now, and help Daniel too, as he guides his family through this, to be a wise guide through difficult circumstances. Then we pray for Isaac and for Abigail, that Isaac's temp would come down and that he would not get any kind of severe reaction to the COVID beyond what he already has, and that he can be home soon. And then we pray for Abigail with the concern of the high blood pressure, one, but the fact that the babies haven't moved for a while. Lord, we pray that there wouldn't be a problem and that they've just been sleeping extra and maybe she just hasn't noticed. So, Father, do protect those two little ones and her as well. And we pray that there would not be some kind of an issue that is serious. Take care of this family. We think of dear Roger. We pray for him to be strong and bold for his Savior, as friends from his community visit him from time to time, one in particular fairly often, that Roger would share his faith, and that someone, maybe multiple people from his neighborhood, would know Jesus as their Messiah because of what Roger is experiencing now in his older age, with not being able to take care of quite everything, giving opportunity for him to share Christ with others. And then we think of the Markowskis going to Papua New Guinea. You have given us some just delightful people to support financially and in prayer, and we pray for them that you'll allow them to raise all of their support within the two-year window so that they can launch and get over there. We pray that you'll make it very, very clear to them exactly where they're to be, probably on the island, off the main island of Papua New Guinea. But wherever it is, Lord, we just pray for them. And then for their travels with little kids and also the homeschooling on the road, just help Kib every day to keep everything in order, and Adam to guide the family well during this time. And then for Pastor Mutabazi, Pastor Frank in Uganda, we pray for a full recovery, and we pray that this would not damage his spiritual well-being, even though his body has been damaged to a degree, but that he would be strong for Christ, strong in the faith, lead his congregation continually well, and that he'll regain full use of anything that may have been damaged, eyes or anything else. So, Lord, we are so blessed. We are a people who have so much. We pray. We know, knowing that to whom much is given, much is required, and that our church would be a church full of servants who care about you passionately and your word, and that even this week we would make a difference for your sake as we encourage family members, one another, and as we, some of us, interact with multiple unsaved people this week, may the gospel go forth boldly. We pray in Jesus' name, the one who earned our ability to share that gospel. Amen.
Our first song this morning is All Glory Be to Christ. Let's stand and sing All Glory Be to Christ.
Stand, no legacy survive unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive. To you who boast to Moro's gate, tell me, what is your life amidst that vanishes at dawn? All glory be. King, all glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. He will be done, his kingdom come on earth as is above, who is himself our daily bread. Praise him, Lord of love. Let living waters satisfy the thirsty with our prize. We'll take a cup of kindness yet. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to is making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us and be our steadfast light, and we shall hear his people be. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ.
I will glory in my Redeemer.
I will glory in my Redeemer, whose priceless blood has ransomed me. Mine was the sin that drove the bitter nails and hung him on that judgment tree. I will glory in my Redeemer, who crushed the power of sin and death. My only Savior before the holy judge, the Lamb who is my righteousness, the Lamb who is my righteousness. I will glory in my Redeemer. My life he bought, my love he owns. I am no longing for another. I'm satisfied in him alone. I will glory in my Redeemer, his faithfulness, my standing place. No horror's mighty and rich upon me. My feet are firm held by his grace. My feet held firm by his grace. I will glory in my Redeemer, who carries me on eagle's wings. He crowns my life with loving kindness. His triumph I will never sing. I will glory in my Redeemer, who waits for me at gates of gold. And when he rounds me, it will be paradise, his face forever to behold, his face forever to behold.
Oh, that will be glory for me. Can anyone tell me one word that we've seen in all three of these in the, what is it? Glory. Amen. You've been observing. Okay. Oh, that will be glory for me.
When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory, be glory for me. When I'm a gift of his infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory, be glory for me. Friends will be there, I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory for me.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know there's coming a day when we shall be in glory with you, not because of anything we've done, but because of what you did when you sent your Son to die upon the cross. And by faith in what he did, we have received the gift of eternal life. And we look forward to that day when you will call us home. We'll be absent from these bodies and in your very presence. Father, we cannot say thank you enough for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, we thank you for the gift of giving. What a joy, what a privilege, what a pleasure that we can give back to you. We could never give enough. So Lord, we pray that you will take these gifts, bless the giver, and use these gifts to glorify yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What an absolutely beautiful offering to the Lord that was. I enjoyed that. Thank you. We are going to be reading Psalms 5 today. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Give ears to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me, for there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgression, cast them out, for they have all rebelled against you. But let all those who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them. Let those who love your name may be exalted in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield.
To God, no one else, to God be the glory, great things he has done. To God be the glory, great things he has done, so loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded in his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Thank you. You may be seated.
What do the following Christians have in common? George Mueller, many of you have heard of him, probably have. George Mueller read the Bible through entirely almost 200 times in his life. 100 times he read the scriptures on his knees so that he could alternate between reading and prayer. Harry Ironside. Have you heard of Harry Ironside? He was a household name back in the 50s. He wrote a shelf full of books. I have most of the things that he wrote. Harry Ironside was a man who walked with God. And in the last years of his life, he went blind. And yet, he was able to preach an entire Bible conference on the book of Ephesians because he had meditated on that book so much, he didn't even need to see to preach. Apollos, mentioned in the New Testament, friend of the Apostle Paul. It is said that Apollos memorized the entire Old Testament. Pastor David Allen. Now, you haven't heard of Pastor David Allen, but he was a pastor who dedicated a lot of time to memorizing Scripture. His ability to quote Scripture impressed a young man in his church. That young man His name is Jack Van Impe. Some of you have heard of him. He has a television program. Jack Van Impe, because of the example of Pastor Allen, began to memorize Scripture at a young age. There's a biography that I've read written on his life called The Walking Bible. Jack Van Impe has spent an estimated 80,000 hours memorizing Scripture and can quote 18,000 verses, including most of the New Testament. Final opening illustration that I'll use is that of a man that I dearly love. I've never met him. He passed away probably before I was born, but his name was G. Campbell Morgan. How many of you, just curious, have heard of Morgan? Okay, a lot. All right. G. Campbell Morgan, one of my very favorite preachers of yesteryear, and he was 20th century, so not all that far yesteryear. But Morgan was the pastor of Westminster Chapel in London. Even more famous, perhaps, than him is the man who succeeded him in the pulpit, whose name is Martin Lloyd-Jones, or was Martin Lloyd-Jones. They knew each other well and were good friends. Morgan said it was his habit to read and reread a book of the Bible between 40 to 50 times before he would preach on that book. So he would read and reread, and then he would do more study on the book, and then he would preach it. What do all these Christians have in common? They were all saturated with the Scripture. Whether it was reading the Bible, George Mueller, memorizing the Bible, Jack Van Impe, Apollos, or meditating on the Bible so much that you just knew the content of the book, Harry Ironside, or doing a book study, G. Campbell Morgan, all of these men studied the Word of God deeply. After I was born again, at the age of 16, I began to read the Bible, and I did read the Bible through all the way during my high school years, but I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to study the Word. I wanted to understand it, not just read it, but really begin to grasp it. And so I picked the Gospel of John and began to study, but I didn't know what to do. I don't know why I was so dumb. I didn't ask my pastor for help, but I just didn't know what to do. So I sat out to kind of try to study it, and I just got confused about what I was trying to do, and I just quit kind of early on in the gospel just because I wasn't able to make sense of what I was trying to do. I'm encouraging us to get a spiritual suntan in 2023, and I realize that about half of the people who are here today weren't here last week. I'm not going to repeat what I did last week. It's totally new. But I want to still encourage all of us to get a spiritual suntan this year. But it occurred to me that not everyone knows how to do that. Maria encouraged me to explain the different ways to study the Bible as a help to newer believers and young people. So today, we're going to ask and answer this question. How can we improve our spiritual suntan? That is, what do we do to get exposure to God's Word? What are the different ways? And this isn't exhaustive, but we're going to discuss five ways to study the Scripture today, starting with just reading. Can I encourage you to do this? And I'm talking to newer believers and our young people, my own kids included. Make sure that you read through the Bible. Do it at least one time in your life. And I hope it'll be more, but read through the Bible entirely from Genesis to Revelation at least one time in your life. And some of you are sitting back there, well, I've read through so many times, and I don't, you know, this is so basic, I don't need it. You know what? It may be basic for some of us. It's not basic for everyone. I'm not, of course, wouldn't have anybody raise hands, but I'm going to guess that if we had people raise hands, there would be many in here who have not yet accomplished this. So don't do it out of a sense of duty. Do it out of a sense of delight. But can I encourage you to read through the Bible this year? If you haven't already, do so now. Psalm 42:1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. The desire for God. Reading the scriptures increases our desire to spend time with Him. Now, are you like me? When I'll do a Bible reading with a sheet, and I'm encouraging you to do this, but and you have the little check mark, you put a check in the box. Does anyone else struggle at times with just doing the reading out of a sense of duty, and not out of a sense of, okay, I really need the word. I'm just gonna get it done so I can check the box. Can I encourage you, as you're going through your reading, if you're doing that this year, and you're starting off, and you know you hit, I was going to say you hit Leviticus because that's always the hard part. Now it's easy for you, right? Okay, I hope so. All right, but you know you hit Numbers, you hit the book of Numbers. Actually, Numbers is pretty cool. A lot of narrative in that. But whatever book makes it hard for you, get to the Chronicles list, 7 chapters long in names. Okay, I'll choose that one. You know, you get to the Chronicle, you're just like, oh, okay, check it out. All right, the more you are exposed to God's Word, the more the reading of it or studying of it becomes a delight. I'll explain it like this. Flipping the switch from duty-driven reading, which I hope isn't happening, but sometimes does, flipping that switch from duty to delight occurs as the rewards of being, and I'll call it wordish, happen to you. What is that? As you spend deep time, much time in the Word, what happens is a deep sense of joy that sets into your soul. A sense of well-being and wisdom occurs. So the psalmist in 119 sought the Word like this. He sought it, verse 97, every day. In verse 147, longest chapter in the scriptures, he sought it before sunrise. He sought it every night, verses 55 and 148. He sought it at midnight, verse 62. And he says in verse 164 that he sought it a total of 7 times per day. He longed for the Word. You can't read Psalm 119 without coming away realizing that whoever wrote the psalm, maybe David, just could not get enough of God's Word. He loved the Lord and the Scriptures and delighted in them. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Is the Word of God like that for you now, today? Do you love the Lord like that and love the Word like that? Are you a Mueller kind of person or a Harry Ironside kind of person or a G. Campbell Morgan or a Jack Van Impe or whatever, whichever of the illustrations? This sermon, I don't want you to come away feeling like, you know, Pastor grabbed my arm and twisted it behind my back and he's got to read. That's the last thing that I want. If that's the way it's coming across, then I'm failing. Instead, what I'm hoping to do is to just encourage you to find deep delight in God's Word and gain that internal sense of well-being if you don't already have it from just time with God every day. So how can we read through the Bible? You can read through the Bible sequentially. That's the easiest way. Starting in Genesis, ending in Revelation. It's a good way to read through the scriptures. You can read the Bible chronologically. I believe there are 18 men now, maybe 17, there might even be more, who are going to be reading through the Bible using, I think it's the Holman chronological Bible. And it is a Bible that puts all of the scripture in order, not in the sequence that we have in the English Bible. The Hebrew Bible has a different sequence than our English Bible, English Old Testament does. But instead, in the order as the scriptures unfolded chronologically. So like the book of Job is very early. Okay, obviously Genesis 1 is still first, but I mean, book of Job comes in early and so forth. So you could read through the Bible chronologically. You can do a mixture of Old and New Testament at the same time. We have, and I'll get you if you'd like it, have Maria print it off again. We've had it in the past, but the Desiring God Bible reading schedule. I love that. It's probably my favorite one, and it just has four different bookmarks that go in your Bible, one in Psalms, one in Proverbs, one in the Old Testament, one in the New, and you read through the scriptures a little bit in the Psalms, a little bit in Proverbs, but you know a bigger portion Old and a smaller portion New Testament every day. Now, it's important that you understand the scriptures. I was talking with one of my kids, and that child was saying, you know, Dad, I read through the Bible, but I don't understand it if I'm trying to read too much in a sitting. Let's say four chapters in a sitting is too much. And I told this child, why don't you do this? Let me get you a study Bible, and I did get that. Get you a study Bible. You read one chapter a day and the notes. And that's a way that this child can get through the scriptures, not in a year, but in about 3 years. So if you need to, then slow down, use a study Bible, but be in the Word. Second way that you can study the Word of God, be exposed to the Scriptures, is by memorization. So I'm describing memorization like this. It's the most basic level of going deeper. All right, most basic level. When I was in undergraduate Bible college, Bible memory was a big part of the curriculum. Okay, every single Bible class had, almost everyone, maybe everyone, had verses that you would memorize. So during 4 years of time, I was required, and I enjoyed it, to memorize more than 500 verses of the Bible. I still have the note cards in a index folder. So encourage you to memorize Scripture. Psalm 19, verse 14 says, I have stored up your word in my heart. Storing up God's word in your heart is one of the most rewarding things that you can do with your time. How would you memorize? You can memorize topically. Have you heard of Navigators? Dawson Trotman? Okay, he was... he got saved in the Navy, I believe it was, and then witnessed to people. And he got into verse memory in a big way, and he created topical memory packets. And I've used Navigators in the past. Memorized one of their packets. And so I don't know how many verses are in each one, maybe 20. But you can go online and get their lists for free, and memorize. It didn't cost a penny. But that topical memory, those packets on a particular subject, really, when you get done memorizing it, you will know it well. Another way you can memorize is by reading through a book of the Bible and selecting key verses that are either the main thrust of the book or reflect what God has taught you in the book, but select some verses. Memorize those. You can memorize an entire section of Scripture. For example, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 is a common portion of God's word that people memorize. Or, like some who are signed up in the back, they're going to memorize the entire book of Colossians this year. Great way to spend time in the word. Not all of us can memorize as quickly as others, right? We don't all have that ability. And the older you get, usually the harder it is to lock in memory. Children can usually memorize very rapidly, and you know, as we age, it becomes a bit harder, maybe very hard at the as we really get older. But there, I want to encourage you, regardless of your age, you can memorize and learn the scriptures by heart. There was a camper that I had at the Wilds Christian Camp. I was a counselor back in the summer of 87. And that guy could memorize, and I was jealous. I don't know. But I mean, I don't know if I was really jealous. I mean, God has gifted you and how he's gifted you. But I couldn't memorize like him. In 1 week, actually in 6 days, he memorized the entire topical memory sheet for the Wilds Christian Camp. They had 27 different subjects and 3 verses. Some of them had like a whole passage, like 2 or 3 verses with it. But he memorized all the verses on the entire sheet in 4 days. And you got points for memorizing that helped your team at the camp. So he's like, hey, I need more to memorize. So I talked with one of the leaders of the camp. I said, I've got this camper. He's like, okay, have him memorize the book of Nehemiah then, and we'll give him so many points per chapter. Because we were going through the book of Nehemiah that week. And so he was able in 2 days to memorize 2 chapters in Nehemiah. I'm like, wow, what a gift. Okay, there are very few people like that. Most of us are more like Jack Van Impe, 80,000 hours, lots and lots of time it takes to memorize. But I have known one man at the church that I got saved in Davenport, Iowa. He was a very quiet individual, okay, a little bit different even. But he was challenged, our pastor challenged us to memorize scripture, and this younger man chose to memorize books of the Bible, and this was years ago. I have no idea how much he has memorized now, but he had completed 8 books of the New Testament, including one of the whole Gospels, I think the book of Romans, and the book of Revelation. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just the 1 chapter or 3 chapter or 4 chapter books. He was memorizing even the longer ones. Amazing. And he said he didn't have a great memory. He just spent a lot of time doing it. That's the second. Now the third way that you can get exposed to Scripture in 2023 and enhance your spiritual suntan is by meditation. So on your handout, if you have one, you can see the way I've described it. This is the next and more important step of going deeper. I am in no way minimizing memorization. Absolutely not. It's a vital part of our lives. But I will say this. I, like you probably, have memorized Scripture without even understanding it. And only years later, been reading through and like, oh, and then it clicks. It's good to memorize, and I would encourage you to do that even without understanding. But so much more important to meditate so that you can understand what a passage is saying. Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. David, writing here, says his delight is in the law of the Lord. He delights in the law, and on the law he meditates day and night. Meditating throughout the day and night. And I don't think that David, when he was king, had a lot of disposable time. Okay, so, you know, if you're working an 8-till-5 job, you know, you're putting in 8 hours a day plus a lunch break or whatever, you know, you are busy, and that's hard. Okay, it is. But there are people in our church who own businesses who I know, I mean, because I talk with them, I mean, they're way beyond 8-hour days, okay? Some of you have very little disposable time. King David was in charge of a whole country. I mean, all the things he had to do, the people he had to talk with, the wars that he had to fight and plan, and on and on. David's schedule was no doubt incredibly packed. And yet, he found time to, if you did write Psalm 119, seven times a day he's met, and I think that's a way of saying that all through the day, as time comes available, even if it's a short amount of time, he's thinking about God's word. And in Psalm 1, which definitely David wrote, he says that he delights in the word day and night. You know, if you memorize or if you study a portion enough, it just becomes a part of you. And then when you're getting ready in the morning or driving somewhere or have some downtime or you're stirring something on a pot on the stove, it's just there. You recall it and you can think about it and it impacts you. Can I encourage you to meditate? And meditation is not the Hindu, you know, where you get in the lotus position and put your, you know, thumb and your middle finger together and go home, home, home. And, you know, that's not meditation scripturally. Meditation scripturally is, I think a good way to translate that word would be daydreaming. Okay, daydreaming. What are you daydreaming about? Daydream about the scripture. In other words, when your mind goes into neutral, put it into gear, not toward, you know, some other pursuit, but instead toward some scripture passage that you've been working on and that God wants to use in your life. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Meditating on it day and night. Joshua was going to take over from Moses and lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He was going to have to fight wars. He was going to, all these things. You'd think, well, why is the word what he really needs? I mean, wouldn't it be better to read a manual on how to fight war? No. It's the word of God that David needed to have, as the verse ends with, good success. Get the word, a portion of the word down so well this year, maybe many portions, so that you can meditate on them at the drop of a hat when you have time. Topical study is the fourth way that you can study the word of God. This I've titled Studying to See Whether These Things Are So, and that's taken from Acts chapter 17, verse 11. The Apostle Paul is in Macedonia, and he is planting churches like Philippi and Thessalonica. And then he gets to Berea, and he finds that when he goes into the synagogue, because it was his habit, he would go into the synagogue first, the Jews in Berea were more noble, he says, than many of the Jews that he had met before. Why? Because some of the Jews that he had witnessed to, and he himself, of course, was a Jew, but many of the Jews that he had witnessed to in the synagogues in the past had rebuffed him or even attacked him, okay, but persecuted him. He got to Berea, and these were more noble. Why? Because they were taking the things that Paul was saying, and they were looking in what we would today call the Old Testament scriptures to find out whether what Paul was saying was accurate or not. They were studying the word with eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to find out if what Paul was saying was in line with the scripture. How were they then studying the scriptures? They were doing so topically. They were looking for the evidence either for or against the claim of Jesus as Messiah and more. The book of Hebrews is a topical study, not entirely the whole book, but much of the book of Hebrews is a topical study of different Old Testament subjects. For example, beginning of Hebrews chapter 1 is about revelation. And the author of Hebrews goes to the Old Testament and pulls out different parts of it, different proofs about revelation, and then angels, and then rest, what the Old Testament says about rest, and then about the Messiah, and then about the New Covenant. Two full chapters of Hebrews are a topical study of the Old Testament theology of the New Covenant, and then faith, and so forth. Topical study. And then finally, number five, book study. Going deep into one book. This is my favorite way of studying the Scriptures. I find this the most rewarding of all. All of them are important. All of them are rewarding ways to study Scripture. But this is my favorite. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 says this. Ezra had set his heart. Set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Ezra had returned from captivity in Babylon back to Israel, and he found things to be in a pretty bad state when he got to Jerusalem. Things that Jews who had arrived there before were supposed to do, they weren't doing. Anyway, he marshaled the troops, got everybody on the same page, and brought them back to the Scriptures. So if you read Ezra, you'll see that bringing the nation back to God's Word is the primary thing that God used Ezra to do. Ezra, as a student of the Word, set his heart. He was determined to learn the law of the Lord and to teach it and to obey it, all its statutes and all its rules. When you set out to do a book study, okay, that is to learn an entire book of the Bible, you have to set your heart on it. It doesn't come easy. I'm going to say it like this, okay, and I don't know if this will surprise you or if you have the same experience, but every single book that I, without exception, that I set out to study is opaque to me at the beginning, not transparent. I don't care what book it is, Old or New Testament. I'll say it like this, and don't take this too far, but I frankly don't understand a book of the Bible until I do a book study of it. And I don't mean that I don't understand it all, so don't take it too far. And I am absolutely not belittling anyone who hasn't done, you know, a study of the Word. But I'm just telling you that as I'm preparing right now for 2 Corinthians, I'm just absolutely blown away by the book, and I did not understand it before. I just didn't. Frankly, didn't. I know I'd read it how many times, but I didn't get it. There are so many things that I've missed. The big picture of the book completely, I just didn't understand. So studying a book of the Bible is a delightful chore. It takes work. But can I encourage you to sometime soon pick a book of the Bible and make it your own? Pick one book, maybe a year, or maybe every other year, and settle yourself down. So if you're reading through the Scriptures through the year, or if you're doing memorization or whatever, in addition to that, can I just encourage you? Pick one book of the Bible, and then in addition, as you have time throughout your week, maybe it's just once a week, but read through that one book. Now, if you choose the Psalms, okay, and that might be hard. It's a great book to choose, so if you want to, great. But I mean, you know, it may be hard to read the whole thing in one week, every single week or something. But read that book of the Bible maybe once a week. If you can afford it more, more time, afford it, then read it more. But, you know, read that book and make it your own for an entire year. That is a super rewarding way to study the Word. And then a book that you somewhat understand but still is opaque at the beginning of the year, oh, will become much more transparent by the end of the year. And can I then add that getting some help when you're studying a book of the Bible is a great thing. Why not stand on the shoulders, to use the old metaphor, of a man who has spent 30 years of his life specializing on one book? All the reading and meditation and study that he's done. Or, you know, for our ladies, maybe there's a commentary by a lady that you really like. Stand on her shoulders. But stand on the shoulders of a writer who has invested decades of time into a book. Buy their commentary, read it as you're going through that book of the Bible, and allow that person's knowledge of the scriptures, not just of that book, but of all the interrelated scriptures, and the application that he makes, allow that to educate you on that book. There's a book, or a writer, a commentary in the book of Ephesians written by a man named Harold Honer. I don't know how many of you have heard. He was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary for most of his life. He's passed now. But Harold Honer studied the book of Ephesians for his entire life. He turned his doctoral dissertation into a book, and then I think he wrote one other. So he wrote two books when he was young. And then he didn't write any books. And he was the head of the PhD department, so he helped younger men work on their doctoral dissertations. So here he is telling them, write. You need to write when you get out there. Write books. And yet he's not doing it. Why? Because Harold Honer had the unfortunate personality of being a perfectionist. I say unfortunate with tongue in cheek. But he was a perfectionist, and he just kept working on what is today his magnum opus. It's a commentary in Ephesians, so big you probably wouldn't want to read it, but I mean, it is massive, but it is recognized as the commentary in Ephesians. That man spent over 30 years of deep study time working on and writing that book. I can promise you that if you buy Harold Honer, or, and I wouldn't actually recommend that for most, because it's so huge. There is something to be said for being in the Word and not being in a book, right? So you want to balance that out. But that one's so big, maybe not that one. But, man, you get a good, more simple comment or shorter commentary. Not necessarily simple, but shorter commentary in Ephesians. You read through the book or any other book in the Bible, it will greatly inspire you and unlock so much. Four kinds of commentaries. There's the basic / devotional. That might be the very book that you want. Talk to me about a recommendation. So if you get serious, you're thinking, yeah, I really want to do this. I'm going to take this challenge. I'm going to pick a book, but I need a commentary. Ask me and I'll help you. But you have basic / devotional commentaries on every book of the Bible that would be real beneficial. Then there are sermonic commentaries. I own many, but I try not to read them too much. Those aren't the mainstay. Why? They're great for devotional reading, but I don't want R. Kent Hughes' Preaching the Word series. I don't want their sermonic outline. It's a commentary, but it's done in sermonic outline form. I don't want that guy's thoughts imprinting itself too much on my mind if I'm going to be preaching the next week or in the next couple weeks. Does that make sense? I don't want their outline to force me into a particular way of handling that text, because every one of those commentaries will have a different outline, and they should be on the same subject, but I don't want to be too influenced. But for the reader who's not having to prepare sermons, those sermonic commentaries are excellent. So Preaching the Word by R. Kent Hughes is phenomenal. Warren Wiersbe, B-Series, There's a newer set that's not even finished yet called the Reformed Expository Commentary that I have just really enjoyed when I've read it. So, and there are others. John MacArthur's an example, and there's many others, actually. So sermonic commentaries. So you have basic slash devotional, you have sermonic. Then there's my favorite kind of commentary, and that's the exegetical. If you're interested in studying, talk to me about it. I'll probably recommend one from the other two categories, but maybe one from the exegetical. These are the commentaries that dig into the Word. They're usually going to be longer. They're going to be a little harder to understand, but man, they don't spoon-feed you the Word. Instead, like a sermonic commentary or devotional, instead, they go through all the details so that you can understand the relationships in the Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic, wherever you are in the Scripture. You can understand the relationships of the words themselves, what they mean, the relationships in the grammar and the structure and the syntax of the sentence. They'll give you all kinds of information about the background that's going on in the century in which the book was written. They'll give you customs and culture. They'll talk about if it's 2 Corinthians, you know, they'll talk about Corinth and what it was like there. And oh my, it'll just open up new avenues for you and reveal things to you you wouldn't have otherwise known. So exegetical commentaries are great. I have four written here. I won't go through them, but there are so many really good ones. But if you're interested, talk to me and I'll show you some different ones and you can choose one or maybe more. And then finally, there are technical commentaries. I wouldn't recommend that you, for most that you get into them. They're very, very technical. They're usually, they're always language-based, and some of them are actually liberal, and I don't want you to get into those. So technical commentaries are sometimes helpful, but to be careful. Let me conclude with this illustration. You know that I read a lot, and I read biographies. They're so encouraging to me. Last night, after I finished reading one of four biographies that my wonderful wife bought me for Christmas, Rochunga Pudaiti, one of the three on his life that she bought me, I then went to bed and started listening to, or continuing to listen to, a book that I've listened to and read I don't know how many times, called God's Smuggler, the story of the life of Brother Andrew. And I started listening to that, or continued listening to that again, and I'm about two-thirds of the way through the book. And last night as I was falling asleep, Brother Andrew had, for the first time, gone into the country of Romania. Romania was the hardest of all of the Soviet Union countries, okay, in terms of how hard they cracked down on the church. In some of the countries, they didn't crack down that hard, but in Russia itself, it was pretty severe. In Romania, it was even more severe than in Russia. So when he got there, he had one name only as a contact. Normally he'd have more, but there was only one name that he had a contact. He memorized the address of this man's apartment so that he didn't even have it written down, because in case he got stopped, he didn't want authorities to have this guy's address or name. So he memorized it, and he got to the hotel, and when he got there, he asked for a map. They were fresh out of maps. No one had a map. So he just said, well, I really need a map. So anyway, he said, all we've got is this map under the glass. And so he looked at the map on the counter, and it had all the major roads, but he knew this guy didn't live on a major road. This map had been prepared years before Brother Andrew arrived there, and he's like, I know this map is not going to help me, but he had just talked with the guy, so he looked out of politeness at the map. All the major roads in Sofia, that's Bulgaria. What's Romania? Anyway, whatever it is. All the major roads in the capital city were marked, and there was one, only one small road on the entire map, and it was literally the road that he had to go to. So he found out where it was. The next day, he drove there, parked his car. in that day in the Soviet Union, there would be in a building 40 families, and you'd only have one room. This guy only had one room for his kids were grown, but for his wife, he and his wife lived in. And he's like, man, I don't want to go knock on the door. I don't even know, you know, oh boy. So he prayed, God, help me to just find this guy. So he gets out of his car, starts walking down the street because he parked a little ways away. And there was another guy walking down the street at the same time. They literally met on the sidewalk, both turned to the same apartment building, walked down the shoulder to shoulder. They walk up to the front door. Brother Edward just took a quick glance at the man because this is dicey. I mean, you could be arrested. And if you get arrested in Romania in that day, you may not get out of prison. And he just took a quick glance at the man. He could just tell. The man looked at him the same time. He could tell in his eyes, this is him. He's a Christian. They just walked, without saying a word, they went in, walked up the stairs to the third floor. The man opened the door. Brother Andrew went in with them. Hadn't even said a word to him. Didn't know for sure if it was the right guy. He was like, oh, boy, I hope he's the right guy, or this is going to be really awkward. Went into the room, and it was the man he was looking for. And they began to talk. His wife was there, and the man had a typewriter on the table with a number of pages that had been typed. And Brother Andrew, in the conversation, asked, what are you doing? And the man said, well, I bought a Bible. He had a Bible. And he found a used copy of the Bible. Bibles were so rare in Romania. But he found one that had been used, and he paid a month's salary, if I remember correctly, in order to buy it. And the Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, as well as the book of Revelation, had been ripped out. The man postulated that probably a smoker had owned the Bible and had ripped it out to roll tobacco in those pages because they're good, I guess, for smoking cigarettes. But anyway, don't do that. Please don't do that with your mouth. All right. Yeah, oh, boy. That's not the way to get the tan. Okay. Anyway, he said, you know, many of the churches in my country, they're all like clandestine, but he said, many of the churches in my country do not even have one copy of the Bible at all. Not the pastor, none of the people even have a copy of the scriptures. Not even one copy. And he said, the value of this book is so great. I am going to type out the pages from my copy, from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Revelation, and like insert them in this book, and then I'm going to take it to a church that doesn't have one. He said, are you going to sell it? He's like, no, I'm going to give it to them. That's how precious God's word was to the believers in the country of Romania. So imagine when Brother Andrew said, give me just a minute. And he walked back down the stairs to his car, got a box, brought it back up the stairs, and went into the apartment. And the husband and wife were looking at like, okay, we know you're from Holland. What did you bring us from Holland? what is this? He opened it, and the whole box was filled with Bibles in the Romanian translation. He had purposely brought them there. And he handed one each to them. And the man he said that instantly tears welled up in his eyes, and they ran down his cheeks, and he was holding the word, this new copy, and his tears fell right on the book. He's like, oh. And he said, well, I have like six boxes. Oh, you know, and so they then proceeded along with the help of a man named Brother Abraham, a man who was like 6 foot five, monster of a man. He had been a rich man and very wealthy, house, servants, all that. And because of his faith in Christ, the communist government took everything away. And he lived on the top of a mountain in a goat hide tent with his wife. They had nothing. He was 75 years old. And Brother Andrew and this other man he was with couldn't even keep up with the 75-year-old man as he walked up to the top of the mountain to his house. It took 2 hours to make it to the, I say house, to the tent. He and his wife was so sweet. She had lost everything, and yet she acted like nothing even bothered her. And Abraham and this other man proceeded over the next months to hand out Bibles, to go to churches. They only give one per church, but they were able to give away 6 boxes of Bibles to all these different churches. When people in the church, I won't go through it, I don't have time, but when just imagine what it would be like for a church that had no Bible to be given a Bible in their own language. The joy that fell upon that Christian group was just barely beyond words, that we could even express, the incredible blessing of it. We in America have so much. I have so much. You are so gracious to me as a congregation to give me funds to buy books. And I buy and read them all the time. I am so thankful. I have so many books. You have so many books. Some of us have more than 10 copies of the scriptures in different translations. Don't go through this year without getting a serious spiritual suntan from the Word. And you don't have to sign up on the sheet if you'd like to. It'll be good, but you don't have to. But memorize the scripture. Meditate on the scripture. Maybe that's what you do this year. Maybe you read through the Bible this year, maybe using one of the different techniques. Or, maybe you pick a book and you just sink down in it and make that your book. Whatever you do, spend time in God's Word this year. Father, we do appreciate what we have. We are thankful for what we have, the freedoms we have, the resources we have. Oh. You have lavished our country and our community and our church with so much. Lord, we pray that we would appreciate the Word like the Romanians did, like those in the all over the former Soviet Union did, like the teens who met for the first time, 300 of them in a clandestine camp, and without even a Bible, reproduced almost all of the 4 Gospels from memory. Days like that are gone, Lord, at least here. But Lord, may we regain, if we do not already have it, a desire, a delight in your Word, so that we would be in it day and night. Give us a great year, we pray in Christ's name.
Let me just say this before we sing our last song. Dennis Schilling is a little under the weather. Excuse me. So for the adult class, we are going to have a video this morning. So those of you who are in the adult class, come up farther here because we'll be looking on the screen. A word for you this morning. Almighty, most holy God, let's stand and sing about the Almighty God.
Mighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious Almighty God. Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious Almighty God. Mighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious Almighty.
Thank you. You are dismissed.
Thank you.